Windows 10 is out and is doing a lot of great things to protect their users, like banning really intrusive DRM, but they're also seemingly being very intrusive, and that has the piracy community fearing the worst. Tonight is August 23rd, 2015, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Can you believe I overslept for my 8 p.m. show? I took a quick nap after having a long day, and then I woke up late. And I didn't even make it to the show. I'm late. Sorry, guys. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a late edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. You're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It's at live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, and you can check in just like these two random people I'm picking out from who checked into the show during the intro, Pod Culture and Veronica Isabel. So thank you very much for checking in and being part of the live audience here today. You can check in, get some points on the leaderboard. It is the 23rd. You're almost running out of time to take down Obi-Wan Jabroni or Tiger Claw on the leaderboard. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you can listen for a passphrase somewhere in the episode, get the exact same amount of points, and take down Obi-Wan Jabroni and Tiger Claw off of the leaderboard. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can contact us on our website, bobbyblackwolf.com. We are going to be at Dragon Con, not as much presence officially as last year, but Dragon Con in Atlanta, it's 2 weeks from now. 2 weekends from now, you will be able to see several people from Vogue are going to be there. I will tell you about the gaming panels that we are going to be on. The podcasting panels that the gaming people are going to be on. I know that we have Critical Myth, people from Critical Myth there, people from British Invaders there. They're going to be on panels on their respective tracks as well. But in the podcasting room, Rob from Orange Lounge Radio is going to be on the podcasting past, present, and future panel. It's at Sunday at 1 p.m. in the podcasting room in the Hilton. He is going to be talking about podcasting's origins, what's going on today, and what changes mean for the future. And then on Monday morning at 10 a.m., you're hungover from the Sunday night parties and you've checked out of your hotel room, I'm going to be on Community is Everything, How to Build, Maintain, and Love Your Audience, about cultivating an audience and podcasting success. I'm going to be on that panel. But other than that, we're going to be just hanging out and doing stuff with people, with you maybe, if you are there. So come, hit us up on Twitter. We're going to be there. Rob, I think, is getting in Wednesday night. I'm getting there Thursday morning. We're staying until Monday afternoon. Going to be there all weekend. Registration is still available. You can still get in. It's not like PAX Prime, which sold out in 5 minutes. No. Dragon Con, it's here in Atlanta. And you can come meet us there. So one of the things that I like to do is I like to read some of the comments from previous episodes, and we did get a comment on the previous episode over at VogNetwork.com. If you can't be here live, if you're listening to us on the podcast, or if you're just not able to get into the chat room, you can leave comments, and we can revisit some things from previous episodes. This one comes from SSJ100 Matt, who says, "It's a shame that the now former Nintendo employee lost his job. We talked about the Nintendo employee last year who talked on an indie podcast, much like the one you're listening to, without checking with his superiors first, who would have told him he can't do it. And so they fired him for not necessarily for what he said, but just the fact he said it at all. Well, in the grand scheme of themes, the comment that he made on the podcast will not hurt Nintendo in the end. He did make some questionable contents that painted the company in negative light, like the Xenoblade comments about how it wasn't going to sell well enough. And did leak, however minor, some trade secrets that could be used against them, like how they do things and what some people do inside the company. I agree that he likely won't be getting a job within the game industry anytime soon, but he should hopefully land a job. This is not something that will stop him from getting a job ever again. Luckily, people do believe in second chances. What people need to understand is that we live in an age of 24/7 informational instant gratification social network, that we need to be very careful of what we do and say on the internet. When it comes to your jobs, you can't take any chances. At the company that I work for, and like many companies, we have a very strict and moderated social networking policy. We've had many cases where someone has tweeted out or blog posted about something very trivial at my job that resulted in that person being suspended or fired. This is why that many of my coworkers and myself have private Twitter and social media accounts where we talk very little about what we're working on. Even tweeting about having a bad day or busy day could be misconstrued as insider information in the wrong hands. I, on the other hand, tell all my insider info to Bobby, who promptly shares it with anyone. That's true. I absolutely do. I know where he works. And if he tells me something, when he's gone, I tell everybody else, and he knows this. In all seriousness, though, parts of the internet can make it an unmerciful place, and having anything regards to your job out there can be dangerous for you and your career. I actually do the opposite. I have the public Twitter account, and my company has actually looked, and I don't know if anybody's listening from my company. I know some do. Sometimes the CEO of my company listens to this podcast. And they have said, Bobby, you have over 1,000 followers on Twitter. Which I am astounded at. It took me like 7 years, but I thank you for I thank all the spam bots that have pushed me over 1,000 followers on Twitter. They actually want me to tweet things about work, like blog posts that we do at work and stuff that we're doing. Hell, even stuff that I'm doing at an upcoming conference. They want me to tweet it out to you guys, and I'm like, no, I don't want that link. It will probably come out. You may actually learn in a couple weeks where I work, what I do, because there's going to be something that happens that might actually go very public, and you will probably recognize some of it. But they're begging me to, you know, bring some of my gaming followers' hits to the website, and I'm actually refusing to do that. So, like, I have a public profile, and I refuse to bring my private life into the public profile, even though my private life is like, please, please tweet out about us. Tweet out some links about agile software development. No. No. I don't want to. Leave me alone. Brickman says, I have never and will never mention the name of my company or the type of work I do on social media. That is, I mean, I kind of, you know, what I do as a career, I'm a software developer, is very much who I am. So it's kind of hard for me not to mention the type of work I do, just because it's a very big part of who I am. But that's a very good policy. If you are able to not tell anybody what you do on social media, that is the best thing. And I am envious of Breakman. Breakman says Bobby stalkers have been waiting a long time for him to reveal where he works. ActF says spam bots are great for bloating your follower numbers. They are. They are. And I am very happy that I've finally gotten enough spam bots who think I am worthy of following to get me over 1,000. And then all of you that are actually real in the following, I also appreciate all of you. SJ Wonder Matt says, my girlfriend is a teacher in the school district she teaches in and wants the teachers to have a classroom Twitter account where they tweet out how the students are doing, not by name, and what they're learning so that parents can find out what's going on. My girlfriend refuses to do it. Teachers are a fun – it's always an interesting dynamic because I from the fact that I was in college marching band. I was in there with a lot of music education majors because most people that major in music go into the teaching field. So I have a lot of friends on Facebook who are teachers, and it's very interesting to see them kind of make sure that they don't post the wrong thing. Even though their Facebook is locked down and private, if they tweet a picture of them with a tasty beverage, or if there is a picture out there of them with a tasty beverage, a parent, if they find it, can take that to the school district and they can get fired. Even if they had locked down their Facebook, private, friends only, and they curate who their friends are, all it takes is one. And, I actually, when I go to reunion events for my college marching band, we actually go to a bar in the college town and say, oh my God, I forgot how cheap the beer is here. And we're all drinking beer, but when the pictures come around, they always ask, are you a teacher? And if you're a teacher, they make sure not to put the drink in your hand in the shot that they're taking. So it's always an interesting dichotomy. Like, teachers shouldn't be on social media, and then you hear that teachers have to be on social media so they can, I guess, publicly shame their kids. That's weird. SJ Wonder Matt says she refuses to do it because she actually wants the kids to actually talk to their parents about what they're doing and have mutual conversations with them. SJ Matt, it's 2015. We do not have conversations. We don't talk to people. We text to them. Get with the times. Anyway, moving on. We're going to talk a lot about Windows 10. I still have not installed Windows 10. There are some people that love Windows 10. They are in our chat room. And they've talked about what they've done on Windows 10. And there's information that's out there and some misinformation that's out there. So I'm going to try to really quickly go through and point out what's true, what's not. What's good, what's not. And there's a lot of privacy concerns, just like there are with everything. And some of them are unfounded, mainly because you can read anything in a certain light and assume the worst, and that's not actually the case. So Rock Paper Shotgun reports that Windows 10 will not run games that employ safe disk or certain versions of the Secure-ROM DRM, rendering hundreds of old disk-based games potentially unplayable without complex workarounds. Now, see, the first thing I want to say is that this is the reason that I would always tell people who were like, you know, they would say the consoles suck. Why? Well, because they're not backwards compatible. And then they say, my PC game, I'll be able to play forever. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? No. Some PC games that you had on disk from the early 2000s, you're not going to be able to play on Windows 10. Just like, you know, and they're like, oh, well, the Xbox One sucks. This was before they announced it backwards. Xbox One sucks because it can't play Xbox 360 games. And that's why I'm a PC gamer, because then I can play all my PC games forever and ever and ever again. No, obviously, no, not with Windows 10. There are complex workarounds that you can do, but still, games which use these forms of DRMs range from Crimson Skies to Grand Theft Auto 3, Microsoft Flight Simulator 2004 to the original The Sims. Yet despite this change coming in Windows 10, blame can't really be placed at Microsoft's feet. For one, safe disk is notoriously insecure, and Microsoft's decision to block it from their new operating system will likely protect more users than it hurts. The issue was touched upon by Microsoft's Boris Schneider-Jean at this year's Gamescom. The video is in German, but the segment at the timestamp linked in the Rock Paper Shotgun article is translated thusly. Quote, everything that ran in Windows 7 should also run in Windows 10. There are just two silly exceptions, antivirus software and stuff that's deeply embedded into the system that needs updating. But the developers are on that already. And then there are old games on CD-ROM that have DRM. The DRM stuff is also deeply embedded in your system, and that's where Windows 10 says, sorry, we can't allow that because that would be a possible loophole for computer viruses. That's why there are a couple of games from 2003 to 2008 with Secure-ROM that simply will not run without a no-CD patch or some such. We cannot support it if it's a possible danger to our users. There are a couple of patches from developers already, and there's stuff like GOG where you can find versions of the games that don't work, unquote. So yeah, you can play it later, you just got to buy it from another service. You have to buy the game again. If you can't find the crack. There are also specific reports of users encountering the problem. For example, according to the user Gambalier on the Microsoft support forum, the safe disk issue relates to the file secdrv.sys. This file is present on older versions of Windows but isn't on Windows 10, and attempts to run the file or the games that depended on it fail. PCGamesHardware.de reached out to Rovi Corporation, the creators of SafeDisk, for a statement regarding the incompatibility. There's no direct quote, and this is a German quote that they did find, but translated in English, the update section of this says, quote, SafeDisk DRM has not been supported for a few years now, and the driver has consequently not been updated for some time. Microsoft should have migrated the existing software since Windows 8. We don't know if that's still possible with Windows 10 or if they simply don't care about it, unquote. It seems more likely that it is a deliberate choice to exclude SafeDisk. The software was one of a number on-disk digital rights management solutions employed by PC game publishers and developers in the early aughts. That's how I'm going to say 00 aughts. or the Audis. I don't know. In an effort to stop piracy, and it was a pain even then, eventually a security hole was discovered in November of 2007, which allowed for elevation of privilege and for attackers to execute unrestricted kernel-level code, effectively taking complete control of a PC. The security flaw was patched by Microsoft, but the problems it caused became part of the Electronic Frontier Foundation's arguments against DRM. Despite this arguably being good for security, it's still bad for people who want to easily play old favorites, as in the ones that say, I still have my Xbox games on disk. Why can I not put those Xbox discs in my Xbox One and have it work? I can do that on my PC. Why can't I do it on my Xbox? All it is a PC connected to my TV. In many cases, official patches may have already removed the need for disk checks, but otherwise you might need to resort to dual booting into an older version of Windows, riskily and ironically, looking for a no CD crack to remove the check, repurchasing the game from a digital distributor that employs modern or no DRM checks such as GOG.com, or test signing the safe disk driver yourself. This last option is the fiddliest, but legal and free. You can download the software which will apparently do it or learn how to do it yourself. If you choose this route, it'll be, leave a watermark, though. You can read how to remove that as well. DRM is making it hard. And this is what I kept telling people. You know, oh, yeah, you may think you'd be able to play your PC games forever. You won't be able to. Tireclaw says, even programs that are much older than Windows 7 will run as long as you set the compatibility to the OS that it originally ran on, as long as it doesn't have DRM. Dark Soccer says, ah, viruses, I don't have to worry about that. That's famous last words of many Mac users who believe that viruses don't exist for their system. They do. Not as many, but they do. Especially once they realize that people didn't protect their systems because they believed that Macs were immune to viruses. So some virus writers started writing viruses. But any system, like my FreeBSD system, can get a virus. There's just not that many out of there. Tireclaw says, there's one thing about Windows 10 you have to get used to. Even though your local account is administrator, you don't really have full administration privileges. When tinkering with the OS, it still requires administrator access, but the way around that is to open the app as an administrator. That's Windows 7 had the same thing. Because there are some apps that I have to run as administrator so they can have more access to actually like update the files. So, continuing on, there was some misinformation. Some people read the EULA for Windows 10, or actually the updated EULA for Microsoft in general, and said, wait a minute, this is terrible. I'm going to put it on Facebook. Everybody's going to reshare it on Facebook, and we're going to be mad as hell about it. VentureBeat reports that last week, eagle-eyed Windows 10 users noticed a line in the EULA for Microsoft services that claimed that they could enable the company to search through its operating system on your machine for pirated games that it will then remotely disable. But Microsoft says that the relevant portion of the EULA has always given it this power, but people are only just now noticing. And the company says that this is only about keeping Windows users safe. A Microsoft spokesman said in a statement provided to GameSpeed, quote, the Microsoft Services Agreement allows Microsoft to change or discontinue certain apps or content where we deem your security is at risk. This section of the Microsoft Services Agreement is consistent with language in former Terms of Use Agreements, which carried over with the introduction of the Unified Services Agreement on August 1st. Software that is pirated or botted places the safety and security of our customers at risk, including a higher risk of malware, fraud, public exposure of personal information, and poor performance of feature malfunction. We remain committed to protecting our customers from the risks of non-genuine software and protecting the intellectual property of developers of all types of content, unquote. So far, no one has ever confirmed reports that Microsoft has zapped a pirated game from someone's personal hard drive, but that could change. The relevant portion of the Microsoft Services EULA that people are citing is this, quote, sometimes you'll need software updates to keep using the services. Now, this is like the Microsoft's, like, kind of like, not Xbox Live, but whatever the Microsoft services are for Windows 10. We may automatically check your version of the software and download software updates or configuration changes, including those that prevent you from accessing the services, playing counterfeit games, or using unauthorized hardware peripheral devices. You may also be required to update the software to continue using the services. Such updates are subject to these terms unless those terms accompany those updates, in which case those other terms apply. Microsoft isn't obliged to make any updates available, and we don't guarantee that we will support the version of the system which you license the software, unquote. So the agreement is actually for Microsoft services and not for Windows 10 itself. That's the part that a lot of people, like, they read that and said, oh no, Windows 10 is going to zap my party games. That the services they're talking about is not actually for the Windows 10 operating system. The coverage section does list dozens of Microsoft products, but it clearly does not include Windows 10 or any other Windows operating system. It doesn't even include the Xbox Store or Windows Store, which is where you can buy legitimate copies of PC games. That's not to say that playing pirated games with those services would pose zero problems. One of the covered services does include Xbox Live, but that's not going to cause many errors for people playing on PC, except some of the, like, they do use the Xbox Live matchmaking service, or they use some kind, you know, form of Xbox Live to do at least some of the game stuff, because I noticed, like, in the upload channel on the Xbox One, I'm, like, seeing people playing Windows 10 Solitaire, and they're uploading 30-second clips to the upload channel, and I'm watching them on my Xbox One. I'm like, why did you record that clip? And then I asked myself, why am I watching clips of people playing Windows 10 Solitaire? And then I cried. But this doesn't mean that Microsoft has full access to make changes to your personal files remotely. First, you don't need a Microsoft account to boot up and use Windows 10. Second, your Microsoft account doesn't have anything to do with software you download and install outside of the Microsoft service ecosystem. Finally, Microsoft's recent history suggests that it doesn't want to get into a whack-a-mole fight with pirates. Microsoft would risk a lot if we were to start removing or disabling files on people's computers, especially since it would have really no way of knowing with 100% certainty that a particular game is a pirated copy. Some people crack their legally purchased games with DRM so they can do things like play offline or play them in Windows 10, as I just read in another story. It's going to take one false positive for Microsoft to make it look like an overreaching dystopian monster, and then people would start viewing it as a security risk. You know, I mean, if you believe all that, that Microsoft is not stupid enough to do that, then things should be fine. Torrent Freak reports that the level of Windows 10 paranoia has reached new heights this week when reports suggested that Microsoft would wipe torrents and pirated software from people's hard drives. Nonsense, but all the recent privacy concerns were enough to have the operating system banned from several torrent trackers. So, hey, Windows 10 is stopping piracy by scaring all the torrent trackers into not allowing people who have Windows 10 to download torrents. It's working. It's worth pointing out that many other large tech companies have similar privacy-violating policies, and reading rants about Windows 10 privacy on Facebook is particularly ironic. This week, things took a turn for the worse. Slowly but steadily, reports started pouring in that Windows 10 is a built-in piracy kill switch. If we were to believe some of the reports, Microsoft would make nuke all torrents downloaded from the Pirate Bay. The truth is nowhere near as dystopian, though. Remember, this is Torrent Freak writing this. The truth is nowhere near as dystopian, though. The controversy originates from a single line in the EULA that we just read, which allows the company to download software updates and configuration changes that may prevent people from playing counterfeit games. The change isn't limited to Windows 10, but covers many services. Also, there is no indication that it will be ever used to target third-party games, which is highly unlikely. Still, the recent privacy concerns have some torrent tracker staffers worried. During the week, Torrent Freak received reports informing that several private trackers have banned Windows 10 or are considering doing so. The staffers explain that Windows 10 is off-limits now because of an extensive amount of data it shares. This includes connections to Mark Monitor, the brand protection company, which is also involved in the U.S. copyright alert system. Quote, unfortunately, Microsoft decided to revoke any kind of data protection and submit whatever they can gather to not only themselves but also others. One of those is also the largest anti-piracy company called Mark Monitor. Amongst other things, Windows 10 sends is the content of your local disk directly to one of their servers. Obviously, this goes way too far and is a serious threat to sites like ours, which is why we had to take measures, unquote. That's a staff from them. Microsoft has actually been working with Mark Monitor for years. And actually, one of the things it does, the company actually helps to keep scammers at bay. It's actually like a good thing that a lot some of the things they do. There is no evidence that any piracy-related info is being shared, but the connection is raising red flags with other tracker operators. More trackers repeatedly ban Windows 10, and others are, including some others, are going to follow suit. They said, quote, we have also found Windows 10 will be gathering information on users' peer-to-peer use to be shared with an anti-piracy group, unquote. Quote, what's apparently nasty is that apparently it sends the results of local searches to a well-known anti-piracy company directly, so as soon as you have one known peer-to-peer or scene release on your local disk, bam, unquote. And then another torrent tracker says, quote, as we all know, Microsoft recently released Windows 10. You as a member should know that we as a site are thinking about banning the OS from our tracker. That would mean that you cannot use the site with the OS installed, unquote. While a paranoid torrent freak says, while a paranoid mindset is definitely not a bad thing for people in business of managing a torrent community, banning an operating system over privacy concerns is a bit much, especially since many of the same issues also affect earlier versions of Windows. Luckily, the most invasive privacy concerns can be dealt with by configuring Windows 10 properly, or any other operating system, application, or social network. Instead of banning something outright, it might be a good idea to inform the public on specific dangers and educate them on how they can be alleviated. And so there is a link here. It's if you go to fix10fix10.isleaked.com, that will actually tell you from when you start installing Windows 10 exactly how to configure it to have most of your privacy intact. There are still some gray areas that, you know, Microsoft may be doing in Windows 10, and those are red flags that need to be raised. But one thing that I kind of learned from the Xbox One fiasco is that Microsoft will listen and will change things. It may not win people back. There are people that still will not touch an Xbox One because they initially considered some things that they reversed on when they realized that it would not be a good idea for the community. The fact that they even thought about doing those things turned people away from the system. But they listened and they changed. And maybe they didn't change completely, but they do listen and they do change. That's one of the things that I learned from the Xbox One pre-launch and then the launch and where we're at now with the Xbox One. So, you know, there's ways to, you know, it sucks that it's an opt-out system instead of an opt-in system. But I think for the majority of users that aren't trying to play pirated games and aren't trying to keep private data, which there are many users that aren't trying to keep private data on their servers. You know, I mean, everybody should be concerned, but some people just aren't. And so these settings are going to be fine for them and nothing's going to happen to them and nobody's going to care, not even Microsoft. And not even Mark Monitor. But, you know, there's ways to mitigate it if you're educated. Dark Tetsuya said, I heard about some of this stuff after I installed Windows 10. I just went digging into the various settings to tweak it myself, so it wasn't a huge ordeal. There are actually a lot of settings in Windows. That's one of the things that people don't like Windows as much is because there's too many settings and you can tweak too much with the registry editor, and it doesn't just work. That's what I hear from a lot of people that don't use Windows. You know, Macs just work, and I'm not talking about Mac users in the chat room. It's like other people that are not in computers that don't listen to this podcast. They're like, I have Macs and iPhones because they just work, and I don't have to worry about configuring it like I'd have to configure Windows. Bonds 006 says, I just visited that Fix 10 site. I already disabled like 90% of those settings. Breakman asks, what's wrong with a company trying to block pirated material? They didn't make it, they didn't support it, and it may be harmful. People just believe that they... and, you know, they have a point. People believe they have a right to install whatever they want on their personal hardware. You know, it's... You know, they believe they should have that right. And, you know, what's next? If they... Okay, yeah, it's pirated software. But then, you know, they can also block competitor software. You know, there's the slippery slope. But I don't think they're going to do it because they can't 100% guarantee that it's a pirated game. Because there are always false positives, and it's terrible PR when that happens. True says, you cannot turn off the update automation. They said, but they said it was that was before it released. There was, like, the updates. Like, you can't, like, tell it when to update or that you don't want to update immediately. And what, you know, what a lot of people were saying initially is that it will just update whenever it wants, and then it will reboot your computer whenever it wants and, you know, not really give you a choice. I don't know if that's still the case today. I know that was the case a couple months ago, and I don't have Windows 10 yet, so I can't verify it. So Windows 10, if you configure it correctly, it's great. Or if you don't care about privacy. I mean, we get tracked so often. You know, like, everybody's bitching on Facebook about all this. Well, Facebook also tracks everything you do. You know, and you find out, you know, there's more cars out there that are connected, you know, connected cars and stuff like that. And everybody's like, oh, I'd never drive one of those because I don't want to be tracked, while they, you know, then have their iPhone in their pocket or their Android device in their pocket. And I'm like, hey, you don't want to be tracked, yet you carry one of those. Do you disable all the tracking on that? What do you mean, do I disable? I'm like, they're tracking. There's a GPS in your phone. There's cell towers. They can triangulate your position just based on cell towers, even if you turn off your GPS. We're being tracked. It kind of sucks, but then there's also convenience in it. And so you've got to decide if that's an, you know, I personally don't care if my cell phone company knows I'm home right now. I personally don't care. Some other people do. And that's that, more power to them. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls. You can tell me why I'm wrong about various things that I have said, because I'm sure that I have either angered some people or enlightened some people. I don't know. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll be back with your calls. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Woohoo! It's a number one.
I thought chatter about video game radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
See, that Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's how it's done. That's how it's done. With Charles Martinet and a podcast that no longer exists, RIP Chatterbox Video Game Radio. If you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to be Charles Martinet or Obi-Wan Jabroni. We actually do have another bumper from Obi-Wan Jabroni. I just haven't figured out exactly how I want to present the bumper. It is that epic. That's why I'm not playing it tonight, because I have not gotten the presentation yet. But it will come soon, I swear. You can leave a bumper. You can send me an MP3 with just your voice, bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com, or you can leave a message on the toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for you to call in. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. And toll-free North America, Bonds 006 says it's about knowledge about Windows 10. People start a topic and not know much. I don't care if the cell company tracks me. Social media is a different story. So it really is. It's about knowledge and educating yourself. And you know, there's a problem, like even in the Android world, where the permissions in Android apps are very, like, broad and general, and it scares people. People, like, download apps and, like, why does this need to make phone calls without my permission? And the reason that permission exists in Android, it's worded really terribly, because the reason, but it's true. When they say can make calls without your permission, what that means is that in an app, users of the app want to be able to call somebody from the app. So they click on the number, and they want, and users expect, in the user experience, which is UX, once they click the number, that the number dials. Well, that permission can make calls without, independently of user activation, is actually so when you click on that number, it doesn't pop up another screen that says, are you sure you want to call this number? And unfortunately, they do not offer a permission that says, allow the app to call the phone app to make calls and then have a verification. So there's some things that can be done with Android permissions, but that's why it says that, you know, can make calls without your permission is basically saying you're not directly telling the Android OS that it's okay to make this call. They just assume that the app is going to do that for you and make sure that you want. So it's the permissions are worded from a developer standpoint, not an end user standpoint, but end users are reading them and they're taking them the wrong way. To register participation for this episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase propane, and that will work for 2 weeks. SJ Wonder Matt wants to posted a story, and I don't talk about esports a lot, even though I should, because like one of the largest esports games, not the largest, but one of the largest ones is in my backyard, and that's Smite, but not the king of all the MOBAs. The League of Legends North America Finals sold out Madison Square Garden. They sold out the garden. And it's also being shown in pubs in the area of Madison Square Garden. There's also a great pub in Atlanta where it's being shown, but it's always being shown, and that's Battle and Brew. All the TVs always show, all I see on there is League of Legends. Like, even when the awesome game or the Summer Games Done Quick marathon was going on, they weren't showing that. They were showing the LCS. SJ Wintermatt says they sold out better than the New York Knicks do. Oh, that's harsh. And they will probably have higher ratings than the New York Knicks do. Ouch. So I'm going to go ahead and call it, and we're going to go ahead and call. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And they may actually get some calls tonight. And they may actually start on time tonight, unlike me. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, have you installed Windows 10 yet?
I have, actually, yeah. And I'm aware that there's, you know, some of the problems people are having with it. I was still all the way back on Windows 7. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, I kind of figured what the hey, you know, with Windows 10. As far as the automatic updates and everything, I'm not totally bothered by that because, you know, my iPhone does that type of stuff too. I mean, granted, I can disable it if I don't want it on my iPhone. So it would be kind of nice to have that on Windows. But I don't know. I feel that there's so many people that run it that they have to be kind of careful what they push out there mandatory. So, yeah, what the hey.
Yeah. I have no reason to.
Yes, I know. I know you're running, but...
No. I mean, just in general, because we built my computer around Windows 7.
Mm.
So I have no reason to upgrade my gaming rig.
Well, actually, I will say this. On the show computer, we're still running Windows XP. So the computer I'm talking to you on now is XP.
It's a relic.
But it's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it things. You know, when you do an OS upgrade, you're taking some big chances. And we do, you know, since we are audio only... we run some pretty, you know, relic software,
yes.
Shoutcast and everything. I mean, granted, we make it work for the newfangled technology of streaming radio on iPhone apps and everything and Android apps. But for the most part, we're running a lot of legacy software. So I see no need on our quote unquote business computer to run anything besides Windows XP.
Right. And well, and with me, it's like, I mean, I'm in the exact same boat. And I did upgrade to Windows 7, and I finally got all my old software to work. I have to, like, run some as administrator, run some in compatibility mode, run this, you know, and I finally got it working. And I'm like, I'm afraid to upgrade this, my main desktop, to Windows 10, because what if all that breaks again?
Right. Well, the thing that finally convinced me to go to Windows 10 is that you have like a backup for like 30, 60 days or something. So you can always revert back if you don't like it. So that was, you know, and that's a pretty smart thing to do because it definitely convinced me to do it. And now it's kind of like, all right, this ain't so bad. So I'm kind of just sticking with it. So kind of a smart move on how to do it on Microsoft's part, in my opinion.
Yeah, that may be something I may try because, I mean, I've got the icon right here. It's like, please upgrade.
Yeah.
It's right there in my taskbar. But it's like, and I just worry, you know, and also like drivers and stuff because I've got the dual sound cards because I don't use virtual audio cables. I actually use like an actual audio cable to handle all this stuff. So it's like, I'm just worried that like my patchwork system is going to break and I have to I'm going to have to learn software made after 2003, and that scares me.
I don't know if they've made a lot for audio only people after 2003 since everything's gone videos. So.
Yeah. So it hasn't like removed any of your pirated software yet?
No, but I in all honesty, I can't think of what I've pirated on my system. Even if there was, I wouldn't announce it on your show, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of people like reading things into things wrong. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've seen it on, you know, on apps and stuff where people are like, you have to uninstall this app because it can do something. And I'm like, it's a really poorly worded permission, but you'd be upset if that permission wasn't set. Because it's all about either user experience or protecting the user.
Yeah.
And those are good things. It's just they have to sometimes do some what some people think are bad things to do it. And it's a delicate balance, and it's one that needs to be addressed and red flags should be put up.
Yeah, I think, you know, once you get the OS on your computer, you should be able to get in there and tinker with the settings all you want.
Yes.
It's, you know, I don't think Microsoft should necessarily dictate those things on your computer. But at the same time, you know, Microsoft has already had, I don't know how many antitrust lawsuits brought up against them for, you know, the whole dominate. So they're not going to block out competitors'
no.
programs. They've already gotten into trouble when it was Internet Explorer was your default browser over Firefox and Google. So, you know, they're not going to make that mistake again.
Yeah. That was actually all I spent. Did anything else happen this week? Because I just, like, last week I concentrated all on Nintendo. This week I concentrated all on Windows 10.
You know, it's been a little slower since we're coming on the heels of Gamescom. And, you know, going into the Labor Day holiday here, we're getting set up for with all the big game releases start happening because, you know, after Labor Day is when that all starts happening. I think we get our first big one with Metal Gear Solid 5, certainly.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest news we're leading tonight, not spoiler alert, OLR spoiler alert, we're leading tonight with a story on the 2DS price drop tonight. So that was a pretty big deal out of Nintendo.
Yeah, no, I've actually been in crunch mode at work for like the past like 3 weeks. We have a big release coming up next 2 weeks from this past Friday.
Is that the thing we might see in the media? I don't even
know. I will tell you. I'll tell you offline, but it may get out. But I'll tell you. No, actually, what sucks is like there's that this. I've got a big release in a couple weeks, and then I've got something else that I have to work on at the same time. But I haven't been able to get time to work on this other thing that you might actually see.
Oh boy!
Because it's like I'm working so many hours and stuff. So that's why I haven't like kept up. I haven't even like touched a game in a while, which sucks. I do a gaming podcast. I should play some games, right?
Right? It's okay. It happens to the best of us. You know, sometimes, you know, just because we talk about games every week and we love games doesn't mean we can play games 24/7. You know, I know you've got a lot going on. I talked on last week's show about a big change going on in my own life. You know, James talked about her things before. Loki's not even here tonight because of a conflict. So, you know, real life happens. We work.
But hopefully in a couple of weeks, like after it's not like after Dragon Con, I'm still like in crunch mode. It'll be like 2 weeks after, and then then they'll be like, okay, you can take like a vacation for a month, maybe.
I hope you're able to relax a little bit during Dragon Con because you know we got to go have a drink outside these podcast things and then you know catch up on your work secrets and everything that's been going on in my work. So
yeah, and ActF says game released on a Friday in 2 weeks. Unfortunately, no, I don't work in the game industry, so unfortunately, no. But yeah, I actually almost considered limiting my time at Dragon Con so I could work on some stuff for work.
That's a pretty big decision.
Yeah, and I decided against it because then they would say, oh, good, you're not taking a vacation, so we can keep using you for this other project. And I'm like,
that's smart.
Yeah. So anyway, so that you're going to leave with the 2DS price drop. Anything else going on?
We have some guests coming on tonight's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, we've actually got a trio of guests. We're pretty much going to be having a panel live on tonight's show. So I encourage you all to participate over at live.vognetwork.com. And tonight, the topic is all about voice acting. We are going to be joined by a trio of voice actors on tonight's program. We're going to be joined by Andrew Jones, who's actually like a casting director, and he runs like a voice acting school. We'll talk a little bit about that. Greg Berger is coming on tonight's show. And Greg Berger is he was the voice of Jekt in Final Fantasy X.
So
you guys have heard this. But Jamie, what, Jamie? You're really excited about
Grimlock.
This. He's Grimlock.
And Eeyore.
So Greg's got
mostly Grimlock.
Greg has got a very impressive resume. We're going to be talking to him. And David Sobolov rounding out the panel tonight. He is Asmodan in Diablo 3 and Heroes of the Storm and has also done a variety of cartoon work. Like, I know he's Lobo in Injustice. And so, we're going to be talking about voice acting tonight.
Do they do bumpers?
I bet they might if you ask nicely. We tried the bumper thing on OLR, and when people would not submit them, we said, fine, we'll just do music. But they might. I can certainly get you in touch with them.
We can always do VOG bumpers, too.
We can't. Actually, we need to talk off air because there's another voice actor that wants to meet up at Dragon Con, so we can talk about that off air.
Yes. Excellent. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. I'm looking forward to the panel. I should get on a plane and go out there to join the panel. I'm heading to the airport right now.
Get here, invent the teleporter and get out here now.
Excellent. All right. See you soon.
See ya.
Bye. So that's it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. There will not be a live show the following Sunday, which I believe is September 6th, the Sunday of Labor Day weekend. I am going to be drunk, and we're going to be at Dragon Con, and I'm not going to bring my streaming equipment, so we're not streaming. And OLR is not going to be streaming that night either, and we're not putting anything on the podcast feed that week. So, next Sunday, yes. The following Sunday, no. Feel free to leave a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on our toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. You can join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, or you can submit questions on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonder of our wonderful chatter. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Ronma, Sky, VHJSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Actdeft, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Bonds 006, Brad from Podculture, Bird, Darcy, Dungeon Buster, Breakman, Eric RPG, Hitstun, Kaijudo, Kenzie, MXC, MXT, SJ100 Matt, The Real Raginator, Tiger Claw, True, and Wyland. So thank you very much, everybody, for being here. I will try not to oversleep next week, although I am doing the same thing next Sunday that I did today, so no guarantees. But I will try to do better next time. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.